Last week, Thursday, Motus Holdings unbundled from Imperial Holdings and listed as an independent company on the JSE. So why spin out of Imperial and now it's independent? What will its focus be and where is it looking to strike growth? Well, to give us an idea, I'm joined on the line by Orkut Janssen van Rensburg. He's the CFO at Motus Holdings. So Orkut, you listed independently on the JSE last week. Just give the listeners a sense of what the business is about.
Yes, Mampu, it's obviously an exciting opportunity for us to eventually, through our people, products and services, that we can unlock value for our shareholders in the near term. So in brief, what our business is about is really we operate across the full value chain, except for manufacturing, on the automotive side of the business. And we are doing this through virtually four sectors. The one would be our vehicle and import distribution. There we are the largest importer of vehicles into the South African market, and it's mainly through some of the well-known brands such as Hyundai, Kia, Renault and Mitsubishi, where we distribute vehicles as well as parts and panel into the automotive side in South Africa. Hmm. The second segment of our business is really around our retail chain. So there we've got an estimated 356 dealerships across the country, but also some offshore in mainly the UK and Australia. And there we sell all the importer brands as well as all the well-known OEM brands. So in total, we sell 23 different OEM brands across also, once again, across a full spectrum. We also have a car rental business in that segment, which is Europe Car and Tempest, which you would be quite well familiar with.
Yes.
Our third pillar is around financial services, where we distribute and service the service and maintenance plans, mainly to do with our importer brands, but also across some of the other OEMs, as well as some joint ventures with financial institutions, as well as with insurance market. And then lastly, but not the least, is we also in the aftermarket parts business, where through our chains of Midas and Alert engine parts, we also distribute and sell parts, mainly to the vehicles once they're out of warranty, so normally in the 5 to 12 year cycle.
Hmm. So why was there a need to spin out of Imperial Holdings? And in the process of doing so, was there any value for Imperial shareholders?
Yeah, so the transformation and development of Imperial in recent years basically confirmed the absence of any synergies between really the logistics business on the one side and the automotive business on the other. And to entrench the independence and focus further, Imperial Holdings, the head office functions were systematically devolved into our two operating businesses. And I suppose after due consideration, the board really decided that it will probably enhance value if the two businesses are left to really, as they've grown apart, really become separate opportunities and a decision for shareholders to invest in them separately.
Now, I was going to ask you, Orkut, you are in an area that is very heavily correlated to what's happening in terms of economic growth. And of course, the South African economy has been experiencing some turmoil for a number of years, and we've had our technical recession. Hopefully we come out of it in the third quarter formally when we get the number out from Stats SA. So what do you see as the prospects for the car market in South Africa, especially because, people are having a tough time, fuel prices have been shooting through the roof, things are tough.
Yes, no, certainly true. I think if you've been monitoring us, you will obviously realize that the products that we're selling at least are talking to the higher LSM, so maybe slightly more defensive than the real GDP numbers would suggest. But similarly, I think the automotive businesses have been finding it as quite a tough environment to work in. I think we are slightly different in that space, that we've differentiated ourselves a bit with a unique proposition where we also provide other services and not totally exposed just to the new car market sales. Similarly, in our retail business, we sell virtually one-on-one used versus new vehicles, for instance. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we've got the annuity income streams of the financial services and aftermarket parts protecting us. But you're right. I mean, the way the emerging entrants redefine our consumers buy, own, use and drive their cars are obviously continuously changing, And to that extent, we obviously also investing quite heavily in innovation ourselves.
Now, I know that you're heavily concentrated in South Africa, but you touched on earlier the fact that you have a little bit of a presence in the UK and Australia. Do you see any growth prospects in those particular markets in order to perhaps balance your portfolio a little bit, especially when the South African economy is still experiencing difficulties in terms of growth?
Yes, so we will still maintain and grow our market share in all the operations and jurisdictions that we operate in. But you're right, we have been making certain acquisitions in the last while. We still, in the last financial year, we had 87% of our operating profits still being derived from South Africa. So as you can see, it's obviously not easy to change metrics like that. But through the recent acquisitions, I must just stress that it was really selective acquisitions that we've made. We're certainly not prepared to bet the family farm on the international market yet, but we certainly have some bolt-ons within the UK and also in Australia. And there we believe there are some value. It's right-hand drive, English-speaking countries, and in most cases, the laws and regulations really similar to what we experience in South Africa. We also believe that in the near term, we could potentially replicate certain parts of our integrated model into those markets.
And then just coming back to the South African market, in terms of growth potential, are you going to be going steady as you go, given the fact that we are in a lackluster economic environment, or are there some windows of opportunity that you see for investment?
So the areas where we see the investment is maybe more around the innovation side of the operations. As I alluded to earlier, I think we'd certainly have seen that the way the consumers behave has certainly changed. And there is a need to improve and align our digital platforms and leverage data and integrate channels to enable a fully integrated customer journey, really. So I suppose that most of our investments will be around the innovation space. We've certainly done a lot of work there, and in fact, we've also appointed one of our executives to really lead the charge on our investment side. And there, I think there will be some additional investment opportunities, even in the local space.
And lastly, I understand that shareholders can look forward to a nice dividend.
I think shareholders always want a nice dividend.
Of course.
I think. And we will probably continue to provide an attractive dividend yield. We have given guidance to the market as a standalone that we will, as a start, be paying a dividend of approximately 45% of headline earnings per share. And as a kickoff into a new venture of a listed entity, that's probably on a nice platform to start off with. But as people who've been following the share in the past, the Imperial share that is, would have realized that Notice is obviously a large cash generator and that could be some potential upside in the long run.
That was Okert Janse van Rensburg. He's a CFO at Motus Holdings.